This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know, we don't often have phone guests on this show, but when we do, there's always an issue with tracking them down, and generally it's either Ron Darling or Keith Hernandez. There was one time that we were actually worried about Keith's well-being. We were calling coffee shops in Sag Harbor to see if he was there. Wasn't home, wasn't picking up his cell phone, wasn't picking up his home phone. We did indeed find him eventually, and he was alive, and he will be alive later today on SNY for the 20th year of Gary, Keith, and Ron. And the Mets and the Astros opening day coverage begins today at 3 p.m. only on SNY. And you will see Ron Darling there. And Al is getting transferred to...
I mean, Ron Darling's a professional. You know, Keith can be a little haphazard and a little space cadet-ish. Yeah. But Ron Darling is buttoned up. He's a professional. And he will definitely be on time. Well, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, no, he's not on time, see. And it's now's
the time. It's our fault. It's
no,
not
it's
his
not.
Fault.
It's not. It's not our
he's
fault.
He's actually talking to a real person at the hotel.
Yes. So he's trying to. Al was given instructions
to call his room.
Yeah.
Yes. And
yeah. So why wait till the last?
No. He did not. He called well in time and was put on hold by the front desk.
Well, that's a different story. That's not Ron Darling's fault.
No. It's not.
So don't sit here and tell me that it's Ron Darling's fault.
I didn't. You said, I'm not worried about him being on time in a civil. He's not
on the air. What I don't understand is why can't he call from his room? Do hotels even have phones in their rooms anymore?
Yeah, they do. They actually do. I just experienced that down in Florida.
Did you have to hit the 8 and then dial through?
And I never
used it,
actually.
They charge you like $900 for a long-distance phone call?
It was hilarious, though, when my 3-year-old said, Daddy, what's this? I said, that is a phone. That is a landline phone, Summer.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes, very exciting.
There seems to be some problem.
Of course there's a problem.
Do you think this is a central time zone situation?
No, Ronnie, he went to Yale.
I mean, he's dealt with that a lot. With the time zone thing, like where he is in interviews, I'm sure he's dealt with that. He travels all around doing national games, doing local games. There's no way it's a time zone issue. So are you being transferred just ringing in his room?
Well, she said he didn't pick up.
Oh, great. I think he's, and his cell phone is not working as well. Oh, wait. I believe we have something here. I see Eddie. You know when, like, you have a blind shot?
Yes.
You can't see the green?
and maybe somebody up there gives you a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe the touchdown sign.
Yeah.
There we go. Yes.
Yeah, so that's what we got. That's what we just got. And here he is. Ron Darling, the 20th year of Gary, Keith, and Rod on SNY.
20 Mets. Years. Holy
yeah, God. I know. It really is remarkable. Mets and Astros opening day coverage begins today at 3 p.m. only on SNY. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, listen, you're a little late. You know, I had to backstop you here a little bit from these NARPs that I work with. They were questioning your commitment to calling in, so I'm glad it wasn't. And I know it's not your fault. It had to be the hotel's fault, right?
Well, I think what happens now is that I thought it might sound better if I'm on the landline, yes. Which no one ever uses anymore. And there was like all these check stops for Al to get through. So I apologize for being late.
All right. Well, it's not your fault, and I'll blame Al that he should have set this up and had you on the phone waiting by the time we started this. So let's get started. I'm sure the morale for the team and the expectations for the team are great. They come out of spring training. However, with two really big injuries, and that's in their starting rotation. My question to you, Ronnie, you're a former starting pitcher. You know starting pitching better than anybody. There are teams that are loaded with their pitching staff. The Mets wouldn't be one of those teams. Is this starting rotation good enough in your eyes to keep them in most of the games that they're going to be playing?
Yeah, I think they've got to be good enough for a month, Boomer. I think they've got to be able to, you know, withstand April to get to Manaea when he gets back. It seems like all the reports are he will be back by May 1, so that's a good sign. But they've got to be good enough here early. They don't play a lot of great teams in April. This is a really good schedule for them, so maybe that'll mitigate some of the losses that they've had in the rotation. So be good enough in April, and after that I think they'll be fine. But you know, this team is poised to score 850 runs this year, so maybe that will help as well.
Yeah, I mean, other than injuries decimating the lineup, there's no way that this lineup isn't going to mash. I would be absolutely shocked if that were the case, and we're going to see Juan Soto for the first time in a real meaningful game. Is this a guy that you see getting off to a slow start like we've seen some other guys in New York, whether the Mets or Yankees, getting a big contract? Do you think he's going to just come out guns a-blazing right away?
You know, Gio, I would think guns a-blazing. If you remember last year, this is the second year in a row Soto has started his season in Houston with the Yankees last year, and he had some huge numbers in a four-game series. So I would expect nothing less. The only issue today is Framber Valdez is one of the best left-handers in the game. So that will be an issue not only for Soto but for the rest of the ball club. But I expect nothing less than another stellar year. He's in the middle of his greatness right now, and Soto's going to provide big numbers each and every season here, turning just 26 years old.
Let's turn it back 1 second to pitching one more time, and this is going to be their bullpen and whether or not they tweaked it enough, they got it good enough. I was looking at different stats and also looking at different rankings for bullpens. It looks like the Mets have a top 10 bullpen on paper. They're not close to what the Dodgers have. They're not close yet to what the Yankees have. And I guess this really all comes down to whether or not we're going to see the real great Edwin Diaz or not. But did they do enough in the offseason in your eyes right now to support bullpen that's going to have to support the starting pitching?
You know, Boomer, you're so right. I mean, it really revolves around Diaz. So if Diaz is great like he was three seasons ago, then he can overcome any issues that you might have in the bullpen. I think the big addition, there's one big addition that they had and one person I think that can make be a difference maker for that bullpen. Minter being able to get ready and get past that hip surgery and be ready for opening day I think is huge. He's one of the best left-handed relievers in the game. We've seen him in Atlanta all these last seasons and how many big outs he's gotten against the Mets. He's a big addition. And the second, I think, is the health and when he comes back of Daniel Nunez. I think when he was at his best last year, that bullpen was at his best. I don't know when he's going to come back. They're trying to take their time with him. But if he comes back to any form like he was last year, I think that makes that bullpen a top five or six bullpen as opposed to a top 10. But it all revolves, as you said before, around Diaz.
Game one of 162 on SNY today, 3 p.m. Gary, Keith, and Ron, the 20th year of the best booth in baseball. Catch it all on SNY as the coverage begins, 3 p.m. on
SNY. Were you surprised that Jose Iglesias wasn't re-signed and brought back to this team?
Yeah, I kind of was. You know, when you look at the two players that really wanted to come back and were such great clubhouse presence for the Mets last year in that magical year, it was Winker and Iglesias, and they signed Winker back, but not Iglesias. And, you know, I think you can make the argument, if it wasn't for Jose, maybe they don't have some of the magic that they had last year towards the end of the season. He was just so unbelievable with all that he brought. Boomer, you've been around sports a long time. I've never played with a player that had a great year and also did a concert after the game. That very rarely happens. So he just was such a great addition to a great story, to a great year for the team last year. Recreating that in a new season would have been difficult, I'm sure. But David Stearns, I think, wanted to open up, you know, kind of a runway for all of his young, you know, athletes, whether it's Acuna, whether it's Ronnie Mauricio, whether it's Jet Williams. All of those players are going to want to play and are going to need to play in the big leagues at some point this year. Iglesias would have stopped that.
You know, we met him at one of our Boomer and Geo shows, and I'll tell you, we fell in love with the guy. And we can understand why he would be such a strong clubhouse presence. And with the song and, of course, with his own performance, it was so great to get a finally chance to meet him and see him in person. And we all thought he was coming back, too. And it's unfortunate that David Stearns decided not to bring him back. But I totally understand that, too, from the GM standpoint. And, you know, we're going to get another dose of Brett Beatty here now at second base as opposed to third base. I've read he's had a reasonably good spring. Everything seems to be going in his direction. What can Met fans expect from him at second base?
Well, you know, I think he led spring training in OPS, you know, for all the hitters. So he had a pretty phenomenal spring training. Second base, I would say that right now what I've seen of Boomer and Gio is that he's a little above average. I wouldn't say he's a phenomenal fielder at second base. So that is something that's going to be a constant thing to work on for him. The big issue for Beatty, as I see it, when I look at hitters, I look at, you know, if I were 25 years old again, how would I get them out? And I think the big issue for him is that in AAA, where he has just dominated, they have less velocity down in AAA, and he's a good breaking ball hitter, and he's handled less velocity. How he handles fastballs and fastballs up in the strike zone, the 95 plus velocity will be the key to his season. He's been able to make that adjustment to be able to handle or lay off the high fastball. I think will determine if he has the kind of season like Vientos had last year.
Yeah, and you bring up Vientos, as I was about to do. Those guys are sort of been tied at the hip coming up and trying to find their way, and Vientos did in the biggest way, and he looked like a superstar in the postseason. He hit, he looked the part, he looked like he had confidence. I am of the belief that this guy is going to have an incredible year and be a huge factor in the lineup and become a star for this team. Tell me why or why not that will happen.
Yeah, Gio, I'm with you. I think he's definitely going to be a star. I think, you know, he's been kind of, because of how his career started with the Mets, being sent down after hitting a walk-off home run, all the stops and starts to his career, being behind Beatty as far as who was going to be the first one to get a chance at third base, all of those things I think has made Vientos tough and tougher, and I think that's why he's excelled. That being said, this might be the most challenging year he ever faces. Second-year players always go through a little bit of an adjustment because the league now has spent all the offseason trying to formulate a game plan to get this young hitter out. But I think he is tough. He's tough as nails, and that's half the battle in this sport. And well-seasoned, I think he's going to have a big year. It might not start out huge, but he's going to be a good player for this team for some years.
You know, with the immediate loss of Francisco Alvarez, catching obviously it's going to be an issue, and Torrens is going to be a fine defensive catcher. I don't know about the hitting at the bottom of this lineup, but the first seven guys in this lineup really is a mash unit in terms of mashing home runs and batting and hitting and, you know, key RBIs, things of that nature. You know, I really wonder about Pete Alonso. I know he wanted to be wanted by the Mets. I think he's happy that he got his one-year deal where he's the highest-paid offensive first baseman in the in Major League Baseball. But I just, you know, this whole Juan Soto in the lineup right now, with him and Lindor, I got to believe that Pete has a real chance to go for 50 and 110. And I think those are numbers that are attainable because Juan Soto is going to be hitting in front of him.
Boomer, you hit the nail on the head. I think that, you know, it was kind of a strange offseason, to say the least, for Alonso. And then he's come back and he might only be here a year. He'll break Strawberry's record and then maybe he'll opt out again. But he is going to get a chance to drive in 150 runs. He's going to have people on base in front of him all season long. And, so it behooves him to not have the kind of season he had last year. If he can turn it around and have one of the years he had in his first couple of years, I don't doubt that he'll drive in 150 runs. Lindor is going to be on base all the time. Soto is on base 50% of the time. So he has a chance to have a monster a year. And I hope it happens for him because, Pete's a good guy. We all like him and we want him to do well. And, the ironic part of it is the better he does, the less chance he probably sticks around.
Yeah, that is very true. Ron Darling with us for a couple more minutes. SNY Today, the 20th year of Gary, Keith, and Ron. I know we talked about the rotation as a whole, but more specifically, the opening day starter on the road, Clay Holmes. What have you seen from him in this very good spring that makes you believe that he can get through a regular season as a starter and an effective one for this rotation where the Mets are really going to need him?
You know, Clay Holmes is one of the good guys in the game. If you ever have a chance to spend time with or talk with him, he's just one of the great guys. What I really admired from him is once he signed the contract with the Mets, he got after it. He was down in Port St. Lucie in the middle of January getting ready to get his body ready to be a major league starter, not a reliever. And, he's going to be the first guy to start games after having a 30 or more save season since Smoltz, like I think in the middle 2004, 2005. So it's going to be a great thing for him to do. He was the best pitcher of all the pitchers in spring training. Not only the Mets, all around Arizona and Florida. And he added a lot of pitches to his repertoire. You know, as a closer with the Yankees, he was a sinker kind of sweeper guy. But he's got a high fastball now. He's got a cutter now. He's got that kick changeup that he throws. So he's got the repertoire to get people out. The only issue, guys, and we see this all the time, is the high he's ever had is 70 innings. They want him to pitch around 150. That'll be the most challenging part for Clay and the Mets this year.
Very, very difficult division, Ronnie, up and down the lineups for these teams that they're going to be playing against in the NL East. Somebody that we take for granted, we don't even really talk about him anymore just because they had such a great year last year, and that is Carlos Mendoza, the manager of the New York Mets. Have you noticed any changes in him, and what do you think about year number two for him?
Yeah, I haven't seen any changes, Boomer, and in fact, I think that's one of his strengths. You know, when they were going through that miserable record at, 11 games under 500 at one point, he was the same guy that he was when they were at the top of their game in August and September. I think that says a lot about him as a manager and as a human being. I think there's an authenticity to Mendoza, which I think is very important in this market. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, but an authenticity, I think fans love that. The media loves that. That he's not only willing to call it straight, not only to himself, but the players, but to admit that he made a mistake occasionally. I mean, we all make mistakes. That kind of stuff, I think, is really important if you're going to be a manager or a player in this market. And I think that the final part of that and being around him, he has a real, he doesn't want to be just a manager in the big leagues. He doesn't want to just be a manager of a New York market team. He wants to be great. He wants to be one of the great managers in the game. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his actions. You can see it in the way he walks around the diamond in spring training. And I think that bodes well for the Mets, who might be going, with this new, with Steve Cohen and David Stearns. This has a real chance to be maybe a golden era for this organization.
I want you to go back to the version of yourself that took the air back in April of 2006 on SNY, and you look on one side, you got Gary Cohen, on the other side, you've got Keith Hernandez. Did you think in your wildest dreams that 20 years later, Keith would still be standing next to you?
That is a great question. Oh, my goodness. you know, there's no one like Keith. You know, I mean, we meet a lot of people, right? All of us. And there's very few original personalities. And he certainly is. And, you know, it was a pleasure not only to play with him, but, you know, he and I, to be real honest, you know, we socialized, but I wouldn't say we were close at all as players. And to become close to him and Gary, and I never had older brothers. I was the oldest. So to have two guys that I consider like older brothers now is amazing. But I that first year, I was just fighting to not screw up too much. And I didn't know, I had no idea we were going to be here for 20 years. But you guys know, with Al and everyone there, we're lucky. Greg Picker is our producer. He's been here the full 20 years, and he's been really the glue to keep us together and keep us working and keeping us trying to be as good as we can each and every year.
Well, that's why you guys are the best. I'll try to keep the text to a minimum today. And as the season goes on, Ronnie, but know that we'll be watching. We love you guys, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck. And hopefully this is going to be the year.
Remember, Boomer, when the games are bad, I need all the texts I can get so I can use it on air. Okay?
All right, you got it, brother.
Thanks, Ron. Okay,
see you later, guys.
All right,
thank
see you.
Yeah.
The great Ron Darling, former Met, of course, World Series champion, SNY, the whole thing. If you don't know who Ron Darling is by now, go check yourself. But anyway, he's great. I mean, that's one of the great treats that we have here in this town is fantastic announcers just about with every team and the best booth in the business, local booth in professional sports, Gary, Keith, and Ron on SNY. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan.
It's the March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question after we just spoke with the great Ron Darling and he gave us a really good perspective about the Mets and expectations?
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure that I heard things right. So he said he wouldn't be surprised or he could see the Mets scoring at least 850 runs.
Right, yeah. If he goes, if things work out, then yes, they have the capability of doing that.
All right, so last year, the Diamondbacks led Major Leagues with 886 runs scored.
Okay.
And the Dodgers were behind them at 842 runs scored.
Where were the Yankees?
The Yankees were third. The Yankees were third with 815 runs scored. The Mets were down there. They're around seventh. They scored 768 runs last year. So he has a target of 850.
Yeah.
That would be unbelievable. And then, did I hear him right when he said Pete Alonso 150 RBIs?
Yeah, I mean, he said if, you know, with you've got Soto and Lindor ahead of him, if 100. He hits, but he said, but it was like if he hits to his capabilities and doesn't have a year like last year, he could. He could.
Yes, I'm not saying, and I'm hoping I said 5110. And then you said to me you thought 5125 would be more.
Well, yeah,
if
I think
hits 50.
I think if he hits 50 as 110 home runs, it means that something's wrong. that those guys, their on base percentages are way lower than what we expected.
Right, but I guess we're assuming, you know, if we're projecting potentially 850 total runs, then you got to believe that Pete Alonso would be at least 4130. How about that?
4130.
Well, here's what you know. Alonso had, I think, a bad year last year, and now you have Juan Soto, and they still put up 770 runs last year. So 850 doesn't sound crazy.
I just love the reason I'm laughing here is because, like, we're talking about this right before the season starts, yeah. And we've been here before. I could just see Jerry in June or July going back, hey, remember we thought they were going to score 850 runs? But we're on pace for 530.
They're in last place behind the Marlins.
Right. Remember we thought Pete Alonso was going to drive in 150 runs? Well, he's got 12, and it's July.
Yes. Well, they came into the season with high hopes last year, but maybe not as high of a hope as the year before when they had Verlander and Scherzer. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I think the second half of the season, they caught fire, especially Lindor.
Yeah, they did not have high hopes going into last year. I think that everybody believed it was a David Stearns reset year, that they were going to go all in for Soto after that. They really didn't bring in a big free agent at all. You knew that Pete Alonso had to be signed at some point. But, I mean, I remember them coming out of the offseason going, what? Like this, and Mets fans were like, this is what David Stearns is doing. He's bringing a small market team to New York. We don't want that. You got a billionaire owner. Well, they ended up having an amazing year.
We spent all of May and June. Are they going to buy or sell? Buy or sell.
Yep.
They have to prove it if they're going to buy.
We're going to do the same thing this year, too.
Yeah, well, but it's a different feeling this year than last year.
Well, we better not be doing that. That's the thing.
Well, who are we buying is more like the question.
Not selling. Yes. I mean, I was dead wrong about that team. I never thought they would get into the playoffs. I mean, and I stuck with that all the way till the end and was wrong, and I was happy I was wrong, but I didn't think they had it. They had it. So we'll see what happens this year. High expectations. Jerry, what do you got over there?
Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Aaron Boone on the fan with BT and Sal at 10 a.m. Andy Pettit at 10:15. BT and Sal live at Yankee Stadium. It is opening day. Yankees and Brewers on the fan at 2:25 with the pregame. And then Dave Sims and Susan Waldman at 3:05 with first pitch. Carlos Rodon takes on Freddie Peralta. Mets in Houston to take on the Astros. Clay Holmes gets the opening day start against Framber Valdez. Here is Holmes.
It's always fun to get here and just, you know, the moment that you work with for all offseason, spring training to here, and it's time just to go compete now.
And here is Carlos Mendoza talking about managing expectations.
Try not to get too far ahead of myself. The past is the past. You know, we had a good year last year, but here we are ready for 2025. Tomorrow, like I said, special day, and ready to go.
And first pitch on Mets Odyssey Radio, 8:80 a.m. at 4:10.
I just want to mention something. I didn't talk about it a ton because it was around Christmas. But I did that event with Carlos Mendoza out on Long Island at the Bull and something tavern. I don't know. But I spent an hour with him interviewing him with Met fans there. And one thing was abundantly clear, and that clip reminded me of it, is that as much as he cherishes last year, he really wants to put that aside and focus on this year and not just like use that as like, oh, hey, we had a great year last year. We had a great year last year. And I love that mentality because there's some guys like, who was that Washington Nationals owner or GM who, after they had a miserable year, like came out in the press conference and threw his World Series ring on the table? Goes, hey, we got this. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I think his mentality and being in the Yankees organization for as long as he did, where each year you have expectations to be there in the end, is really going to help this team.
Fair enough. All right, Russell Wilson met with the media on a Zoom yesterday, the new Giants quarterback. Asked about being, you know, maybe the plan B to Aaron Rodgers or maybe Matthew Stafford. Here was Wilson's response.
First of all, Aaron Rodgers is a tremendous football player. He's done some amazing things in this league. I've been fortunate to be able to do some great things, too. And really what I'm focused on is right now and what we can do here. That's been my focus since I've signed.
As he is now there, he is fired up.
You know what we really need? Was Bruce Beck there yesterday?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Bruce Beck and Russell Wilson together.
Two nice guys.
You're going to see, like, rainbows and
might start kissing.
Right.
They're, like, the nicest guys in the world.
Those Bruce Care Bears anyway. Bouncing around and sparkles. And
Bruce has aged very well.
No, he looks great.
If you ever see, sometimes he'll post 30 years ago, today I did this. He looks the same.
No, I agree, man.
Really is remarkable.
But yeah, these two guys going back and forth with their happy sports cliches. Holy hell.
All right, speaking of sports cliches and quotes, so you know I love a good quote. I'm kind of jumping around here. Sorry, guys. So we talked about Molly Miller, the new coach at Arizona State. Maybe I could get permission from her to use this. During her introductory press conference, she was talking about hearing another coach and their philosophy or whatever. And so she was kind of jumping on that and coming up with her own. You tell me what you think of this. A little long.
He made the comment, a sailboat doesn't sail on yesterday's wind. And I was thinking, like, what would our theme or quote be for next year? And so I started thinking about the sailboat theme, and I came up with, when I'm trying to revive a program and generate excitement, when there's no wind in your sail, row. And we're going to row. I'm going to get a staff here.
I think
we're going to hit the ground running. We're going to work hard, and we're going to row.
Here are my breasts.
No. Which is another phrase I think you used of hers.
But I will,
so if you want to.
I will tell you, I think she could speak gibberish. They're going to clap. Wow. Oh, man, that's kind of funny. So, yeah. So she took over yesterday and had her incoming bride.
What? I can't get enough of this girl.
Showing good cleavage. No, that was the woman behind Rick Pitino.
Jerry, we have never talked about women's basketball more than we have this morning.
She took the internet by storm last week. Did she not?
She took you by storm.
Well, I mean, maybe. let's see here. All right, so you guys are funny. A beautiful woman with big breasts and a low-cut black shirt.
You're such a jackass.
Clippers beat the Knicks 126-113.
James, a good firm breast.
James Harden had 29. Kawhi Leonard, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Here was Mikal Bridges.
They're a really good team, and they just play harder than us.
They played harder. Here's Josh Hart. Things kind of went to crap on us.
We started off playing well, got the ball moving, and that team is playing extremely well right now, so you got to give them credit. They started knocking down shots and kind of really dictating the pace. So give that team credit. We knew this was going to be a tough one. We got to forget about it and move on to Milwaukee.
What Eddie's looking at right now. Breasts and why guys love them.
That's it. That's your answer.
All right. So the Knicks are 45-27. The Nets will be breasts. The Lakers beat the Pacers 120-119. A tip in at the buzzer by LeBron James. Breast FC. Yeah, it's a soccer team.
Yeah, there really is a soccer team.
Yeah, we played those clips a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I guess at some point, well, I don't know if it was with McAfee or not, but LeBron talking about, you know, they got this whole thing between the old age players and the new age players. So I guess he must have said at some point that Giannis would score 250 points in a game
in
against
the 70s. Yeah. The,
so you know who had to respond to that?
Oh, Charles Barkley, right?
Chris Russo. Okay. Answering the only way you know he would.
Yes.
Here's what I want LeBron to do. He probably hasn't seen it. Here's what I want you to do, LeBron. I want you to go take a peek at the 77 Trailblazers.
Okay? Oh, God.
You go watch Walton, and you go watch Mo Lucas.
So you go watch Walton and Lucas. Exactly. So that was kind of funny. Sweet 16 tonight in Newark. BYU and Alabama, Duke and Arizona, then out west. It's Maryland and Florida. Arkansas plays Texas Tech. So this was two nights ago. Perhaps he got himself fired. This was John Tortorella after another Flyers loss.
This falls on me. I'm not really interested in learning how to coach this type of season where we're at right now. But I have to do a better job. So this falls on me, getting the team prepared to play the proper way.
So I've seen conflicting things. He either resigned this morning or was fired. Either way, he is out as head coach of the Flyers.
Not surprising.
No. And then I told you I'd give you a Matt Lachlan. This is, I think, one of the better ones. This is the Andre Palat goal from last night in their 5-3 win over the Blackhawks.
Maroons pass blocked inside the blue line. Devils have it 2-on-2. It's Brat dropping it for Palat, who wires it home. A shorty for Andre Palat. And the Devils have that 2-goal lead again. Wires it home.
Tremendous. So they did win by two.
Did you say a shorty?
A shorty.
It sounded like shorty.
Maroons pass blocked inside the blue line. Devils have it 2-on-2. It's Brat dropping it for Palat, who wires it home. A shorty for Andre Palat.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Devils have...
Yeah, shorty.
He said shorty.
Yeah, wired it home and then pooped his pants.
We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And the Canucks beat the Islanders by the score.
Florida was a fart. It was something else.
Oh, boy. Yeah, missed opportunity by the Islanders, who lost as well. All right, time now for moment of the day. Now, this one you got to follow.
We just had it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I like this, though, too. You got to follow the bouncing ball here a little bit. Earlier, I played a new station liner, and then the following hour, there was a bit of a moment between me and G, and then it would all come full circle. And I am not making fun of this at all. I really feel like us as a station, we're trying to get younger.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I did hear this yesterday. Quite frankly, almost drove off the road when I did, but this was coming back from break into BT and Sal.
Take WFAN to church, just like your dad did. Download the free Odyssey app today and listen to The Fan.
WFAN to church, just like your dad did? What the hell's idea was that?
BT and Sal at the stadium today. You got the Yankees and the Brewers. They're going to have Aaron Boone right out the chute at 10 a.m.
A few minutes later.
Do you think with the relationship that BT and Sal have cultivated with Yankees manager Aaron Boone, that Aaron Boone will join them today before the game because they are at Yankee Stadium?
Well, as I have said at 6:30 and just now, he will start the show with him at 10 a.m.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I swear to God, I didn't.
That's okay.
Get a why, because he's now putting stuff into AI.
It's okay. Yeah, he's at 10 o'clock. He's starting the show with them.
It's go time. It's go time.
And then we'll look forward to the promo for the next month.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Take Aaron Boone and BT to your church.
There you go. All encapsulated in a minute. Moment.
Very good. Very good. And yes, less than 20 minutes from now.
That's it.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this opening day. It has to be a special reason and a special call for Dan and Carteret to check in with us. Dan is still a regular listener of the show, used to be a very frequent caller. Dan has really no real issues with me, Eddie Scazzeri, Jerry, or Boomer. He's a little upset with Boomer the way that he handled the gifts that Dan had sent, but I think he's over that now. He really just has an issue with Al Dukes. Al Dukes then having an issue with him, so that's the call screening process, so then he doesn't get through a lot.
No, he gives a heads up when he's calling. I have nothing against Dan.
Okay. So it's been Dan.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So to get that out there, you did have an issue with the way Dan handled himself at a Bruce Springsteen show.
Correct.
But you have nothing against him as an individual.
No.
But Dan he's been holding grudges.
And by the way, I do give Dan credit for the name Boompah.
You do that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my made up name. He suggested and I loved it.
Yeah. So Dan's working his way back into our world, which is great. Sometimes
he was in witness protection or something. That's why he hadn't called in a while.
Sometimes Dan needs to settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's back and he's got a take on the Giants and Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, everything else. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Why you got to lie to the audience? I'm not a regular listener.
Yes, you are.
I'm not, I'm not a regular listener to the program anymore. I'm not trying to work my way back into your world.
Yes, so you are. Yes, you
Gio,
are.
You always lie, and that's like your MO with me. You just
You're working your way back. Did you or did you not tag me in an X post yesterday?
Yeah, out of humor, because I was trying to tag you in something, because I know that most listeners are like, we want to hear Dan's take on the Giants QB situation. When people think of football, they think about Phil Simms, Peyton Manning, Dan and Carteret.
Well, Dan, like, listen, just because you and Al had your little thing at Bruce Springsteen doesn't mean that you're going to stop listening to me and Boomer. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous.
I don't listen that much anymore.
Because you don't like us anymore? Like, what's the deal?
No, don't put words in my mouth. I'm just busy and I got other things going on. So,
All right. It's fine, man. Listen, I'm not going to take it personally.
They only give him like an hour worth of listening in jail. That's why.
But now you laugh at that, but you call me a liar. Fine. Okay.
I'm just messing around. Yeah. So anyway, Dan, what's your take on the Giants quarterback situation?
Well, I put it out there back in December, and I think I even put it out there before then, but I can't find my posts on X. But I definitely put it out on X back in December. The Giants are not going to draft any African-American quarterback. It's just they've never done it in the history of their franchise. And even though it was almost inevitable for it to happen this season because of the top draft picks and the Giants, where they're at in the draft pick, it's just not going to happen. Now, the reason
hold on. Just because you say it doesn't mean it's to be true. But what?
I understand that.
I know, but why are you saying it? I don't understand.
They've never done it before. They've never done it, so I just don't see it happen. I don't see them doing it and having
they're the only team in the NFL that hasn't drafted a black quarterback at some point?
I think it's them and the Patriots, but I'm not sure 100% of the Patriots because I don't pay attention too much to that team. But I know the Giants never have. They're one of only two teams that have never done it.
Let me ask you. So, okay, they haven't drafted one, but they're two out of their three quarterbacks in the room right now are black.
Right. I understand that. And then here's the reason why I think they did what they did is the choices that were there on the table for the Giants to do something, to draft with a rookie quarterback, who's he going to be mentored by? Tommy DeVito? Tommy Cutlets? You know, they needed a veteran presence of people that have been in the league for a while that know the ropes. Plus, the Giants want to win, and I don't see that happening with the rookie quarterback. So they either sign Wilson and Winston, because if they do draft a black quarterback, they got two veteran guys on the same pages, their rookie black quarterback that they draft, same race. They can relate to each other, and that's what they're going to do, and they're going to mentor him. I don't think they're going to. I think they're bypassing drafting a black QB in this year's draft, because if you look at 2026 draft class, it's all white guys pretty much.
Oh, jeez.
So, wait, QBs, Dan,
all before, white.
You're telling me that the New York Giants and John Mara do not want to draft a black quarterback because why?
They don't want a black quarterback as the face of their franchise. It doesn't fit what they've done through the history of their franchise.
But then again,
I know it's controversial.
Hold on. I'm leaving you on. I'm not hanging up. But I will counter that with some of the best players in their franchise are black that they celebrate all the time. They're top 100 players filled with great black athletes. You're telling me it's just the quarterback position that they don't want to have a black guy at?
Hey, listen, they've never done it. You know, I'm just amplifying the point. They've never done it. Who is the face of the franchise for every team, no matter whether they draft or not? Who's the face of the franchise? The quarterback. He's the most important position. He's the one in the media spotlight all the time.
Saquon was the face of the franchise when Daniel Jones was here.
And I do know that they wanted Jaden Daniels last year, but they couldn't get him. And who's to say that they don't want Cam Ward this year, but they can't go up and get him because they don't want to give up the assets to go get him?
I understand all that. And like I said, the other side of the coin is that they may draft, they may finally do something they've never done before, which is draft a black QB, a rookie QB, and then he will be mentored by Wilson and Winston. They were going to have Tommy DeVito mentor him.
But you're on the record saying that you don't believe that they will.
That's my original take way back in December, and I think even before December on X. I don't think it's going to happen, and I think them signing Wilson and Winston even solidifies my point more. They're going to bypass drafting a rookie QB. They're going to go with these two veterans, and then next year's class, they're going to aim for Archie Manning.
So, you know, they had the number one pick in this year's draft. You're sitting here telling me that they would not have taken Cam Ward?
They would have if they didn't sign these two guys. I don't think so.
If they had the first pick in last year's draft, are you telling me that they wouldn't have taken Caleb Williams?
I don't know.
And if you were telling me the year before,
I'm not going backwards, Boomer. I'm not going backwards.
But then you're going to tell me the year before, if they had either the first or the second overall pick, they wouldn't have taken Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud.
They've never done it before, Boomer.
Yeah, all right. But the point that Boomer's making is the right one. There's a lot of circumstance in there. A lot of circumstance. They have the pick.
There are so many variables that go into picking these players. And, you know, I think I heard somebody else call in and say something along the same lines. And you're right. I mean, they celebrate all their athletes. And they treat all their athletes great over there. They drafted Kadarius Toney. They tried to make him into their starting wide receiver.
For God's sakes, they've had Lawrence Taylor's back for decades.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like some of their most famous players, Michael Strahan, Harry Carson, Leonard Marshall, Carl Banks. I mean, all these guys are great players. I understand there's a history. You know why they've never really drafted, I think, up there at the top of the draft?
They've been good for a long year.
Because they've had like guys like Phil Simms and Eli Manning and Daniel Jones was the last guy. And by the way, they wanted to give the job to Geno Smith.
Yeah, let's
and that thing got wiped out.